Islamic way of life. Islamic way of life. Islamic way of life. Islamic way of life.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel welcome and marhaba to another episode of this beautiful series called the Islamic way of life, where inshallah we learn our Islamic way of doing things, the way we carry ourselves, the way we spend our days and nights in an Islamic manner to please our Creator Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Rasul, our Aqa wa Mawla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu al Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, in today's episode, we are going to be discussing an important factor of our life, an important aspect of our life, which is to earn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made lawful and to abstain from what He has forbidden for us. And inshallah, and that is the conclusion of you are what you eat. Allahu Akbar. It should really make us ponder over this fact that we should really watch out what we are putting in our mouth, because that will impact greatly on our physical and spiritual being and spiritual development. Inshallah, let's listen to some virtues of sending durood and salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved and blessed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that whoever recites salat 100 times upon me, Allah azza wa jal writes between both his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and hellfire and will keep him with the martyrs on the day of judgment. Inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, the leader of hundreds of thousands of Hanafi, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, would do trade in order to earn halal livelihood. Yes, you have heard it correctly. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was a businessman, was a tradesman. And he would trade, and he was a prominent cloth trader and would follow Islamic principles in his dealings. Even as a trader, he would do the well-wishing of the Muslims and do them favors. It is mentioned that Sayyidina Hafs ibn Abdul Rahman has stated that I would participate in the trade of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. While sending me goods, he would inform me, "O Hafs, such and such cloth has some defect. Tell it to the buyer when you sell it." Sayyidina Hafs once sold the goods, but he forgot to tell the buyers about the defect before selling it. When Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala came to know about this, he gave all the amount of money that he had obtained from those clothes in charity and sadaqah. Subhanallah. Dear brothers, you've just heard how careful and cautious our great Imam, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala was about earning halal livelihood and refraining from haram and doubtful things. Undoubtedly, he knew that the unlawful and doubtful things can bring no blessing at all, whereas lawful and pure sustenance is full of blessings. Subhanallah. Perhaps this is the reason why he rahmatullahi ta'ala did not like to have earnings from sold clothes and spent all of them in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, we may be Hanafi, some of us may be Shafi'i, but we follow, alhamdulillah, we respect all the Imams. If you follow Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, yes, you can follow him not only in the methodology of, you know, how you pray your salah, you know, and the method of wudu and so on and so forth, but follow him in entirety, inshallah, azza wa jal, Look at how he conducts his business and earn halal livelihood and stay away and abstain from that which is haram or doubtful. Allahu Akbar. That should teach us a lesson that yes, this is the amount of taqwa we as Hanafis, we as the followers of all the Aimmah of Islam supposed to have. Allahu Akbar. Because Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was also revered by the other three Imams as well. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says about Sayyidina Abu Hanifa that people are dependent on Imam Abu Hanifa in the matters of fiqh. And in another narration he says that people are children of Imam Abu Hanifa in fiqh. Subhanallah. Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, another Imam of Sharia alhamdulillah, he says that if Imam about the intellect of Sayyidina Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says that if Imam Azam had to prove that this pillar was made of gold, he would prove it to you. Allahu Akbar. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi ta'ala, the fourth Imam, he says about Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that he was a great zahid. He had the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wara, taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Such was the piety of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that was admired by all the other Imams, subhanallah, because Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, out of the four Imams, he's the first Imam and he's the only Tabi'i Imam, alhamdulillah. So we as Hanafis, we as Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, we can all look up to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, because the founders of all schools of thought, they also looked up to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And let's look up to him in the matters where inshallah we are encouraged to adopt the fear of Allah, to incorporate the fear of Allah into our daily lives inshallah azza wa jal. From this parable of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, those people should learn a lesson who obsess about accumulating wealth and increasing bank balance, assuming it to be the sole aim of their lives. At times, these people, driven by pure greed for wealth, commit haram deeds while having financial dealings, causing destructiveness not only to themselves but also to their family members. Dear brothers, remember, the more wealth one possesses in the world, the greater accountability he will face on the day of judgment. We should always earn, eat and make others eat halal sustenance, as halal morsel has great value. Describing the excellence of halal sustenance, Hujjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad ibn Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala has quoted the saying of a pious saint in the second volume of Ihya Ulumuddin. When a Muslim eats the first morsel of halal food, his previous sins are forgiven, and the person who goes to a place of humiliation in search of halal sustenance, his sins fall like the leaves of a tree. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. In Islam, how important it is to earn pure and halal sustenance. It can be realized by pondering over the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal himself has given clear commandments in the glorious Quran about eating halal and pure sustenance. Thus, He, Allah Azza wa Jal, says, وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Eat from the sustenance which Allah has given you, the lawful and the pure, and fear Allah in whom you believe. Subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jal has said in the 168th ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhan nasu kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiban wa la tattabi'u khutuwatish shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O mankind, eat from what is lawful and pure in the earth, and do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Undoubtedly, he is your open enemy. Dear viewers, what is meant by halal and pure sustenance in the verses of the Holy Quran? It is stated in Tafsir Siratul Jinan that halal and pure means that thing which is halal itself, such as goat meat, vegetables and lentils, etc., and which is also obtained from lawful means. It must not be obtained by theft, bribery and robbery, etc. Allahu Akbar. There are two sides to it. One is that the food, whatever it is, it must in itself be pure and halal, such as vegetables, etc. And secondly, it must also be obtained by halal ways, and it mustn't be obtained by means of theft, bribery and robbery, etc., the criminal ways and the sinister ways that are there. Allahu Akbar. We should take a good look at it, that where we are getting our food from. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, that should make it clear for all of us to whom it may concern. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, if we are guilty of that, let's make inshallah sincere tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and commit to eating and consuming that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal for us. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم. Dear viewers, سيدنا يحيى بن معاذ رحمة الله تعالى عليه, he said that obedience is hidden in the divine treasure and dua is the key to the door leading to this treasure. Subhanallah. Halal food is the teeth of the key. If the key has no tooth, the door of the treasure will not be opened. Then how could one manage to get access to the obedience hidden into it? Therefore, protect the morsel you eat and purify your meal so that you will find the noor and the light of your virtuous deeds, not the darkness of evil deeds after you have died. Allah. Refrain from the sin of consuming haram so that you could gain the pleasure of never-ending blessing. Allah Azza wa Jal has stated, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. Translation from Kanzuliman. Eat and drink with pleasure the reward of what you sent ahead in the past days. And whoever does not refrain from consuming haram will eat hot and bitter fruit after remaining hungry for a very long time. It will be extremely bad and harmful food which will break the heart into pieces and will rip the liver and tear the body, Allah, causing unimaginably severe pain, Allah, Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that severe pain. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. Dear brothers, we've already learned that haram causes many evils and halal brings great blessings. Subhanallah. The Muslim who feeds halal to his family leads a peaceful and prosperous life. Those who earn and eat halal see blessings in their business. Sins of those who earn and eat halal are forgiven and their prayers are answered. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. Imagine if we say day and night, make dua for me, or we keep making dua for different things. Yet, we are totally oblivious of the fact that the halal sustenance, that is the key and the teeth to the keys that will open the doors of dua, Allahu Akbar, the treasures of dua. If the key is missing its teeth, how is it going to fit into the lock? How is it going to open the treasure, Allahu Akbar? It doesn't make sense. So why do we do this? Why do we still keep indulging in ways that are not halal? Indulging in earning sustenance that is not halal, not by halal means. And yet, we expect our du'as to be immediately answered. Isn't that sort of keeping a double standard? Let's not be heedless of this fact that our du'as, they are dependent upon the fact that whether we are putting halal or haram within us. Allahu Akbar. Those who earn and eat halal see blessings in their business. You know, the business that you are continuing, if you do the business halal way, inshallah, you will see its blessings not only in the transactions, not only in the revenue, not only in the, you know, in the turnover, but you will see its blessings, inshallah, throughout whatever your business brings, prosperity and your employees that are working for you and the building, the venue where your business is located. You will see the blessings everywhere in your health, in your children's and your family's well-being. It will be manifested throughout, across the board, inshallah. But if we indulge on the other hand in haram dealings, its curse will be seen everywhere. Allahu Akbar. Let's not go for what is haram, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden for us. Inshallah, rather go with what He has kept halal for us, subhanallah. And then inshallah we'll see its blessings. Those who earn and eat halal gain a special status among people. People will look up to you, looking up to you, saying to others, look at how, alhamdulillah, honestly he is making business. And then inshallah they might also want to follow you in your ways of earning halal sustenance, and they may also come to right path because your voluntary da'wah that you are doing without even saying anything, because people can see from right from wrong. So set an example, inshallah, azza wa jal. We are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are the ones that should be setting the example. The Muslim who feeds halal to his family leads a peaceful and prosperous life. Yes, this is the barakah of earning that which is halal and abstaining from that which is haram, inshallah. There is also great excellence of earning and eating halal that one likes to keep describing and listening to it, inshallah. For motivation, let's listen to three blessed hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also make intention to act upon them. In the first hadith, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that whoever eats halal for 40 days, Allah Azza wa Jal will brighten his heart and will make the springs of wisdom flow out of his tongue, subhanallah. And Allah Azza wa Jal will guide him in the world and in the hereafter, subhanallah. This is the blessing of halal. In the second hadith, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever earned lawful wealth and then ate it himself or wore the clothing obtained from that earning and fed other family members and other people and made them wear clothes, then this deed of his is a blessing and purity for him, subhanallah. In the third hadith, Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala humbly said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, pray that Allah Azza wa Jal answers my prayer. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Sa'd, atib mat'amak takum mustajab ad-da'wah. Meaning, purify what you eat, your prayers will be answered. Subhanallah. This is the advice given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for our du'as to be answered. Allah, subhanallah. This should be a wake-up call. This should be a turning point for us, inshallah, azza wa jalla. If we want our du'as to be answered, we know what to do. You have just heard that halal food is full of blessings. By virtue of eating halal food, one's heart is filled with noor. By virtue of eating halal food, one is blessed with expressing the words of wisdom by using his tongue. We also learned that whoever goes out in search of sustenance for his wife, children and old parents is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear brothers, ponder over how great excellence and blessings a person receives by earning and eating halal. But unfortunately, some people under the influence of nafs and Satan adopt haram means that lead towards hell despite the availability of easy and halal sources of sustenance. Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us towards which that is halal and give us tawfiq to abstain from which that is haram. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Dear brothers, on page 223 and 224 of Uyunul Hikayat part 1, which is a 410 pages book published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, it is mentioned that Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh has stated that I once traveled to a city named Tarsus in search of halal sustenance. When I reached there, a man approached me and said, I need a farmer to look after my fruit orchard. Are you willing to look after my garden on a wage? I responded in affirmative. So I went with that person and began to work with great dedication and hard work. Subhanallah. One day, the owner of the garden, along with some of his friends, arrived in the garden and asked me to bring some best quality, sweetest kind of grapes. Listen to this. I presented the grapes to him in a vast quantity. When the owner ate a grape, it was sour. He said to me, O farmer, pity on you. You have been working here for a long time, but you still haven't been able to recognize sweet and sour grapes, though you would be eating grapes from here all day and night. I said to him, by Allah Azza wa Jal, I have not tasted even a single grape from this garden of yours to date, because I have been here only for looking after the garden. It is for this reason that I could not identify which grapes are sweet and which ones are sour. Listening to this, the owner said to his friends, could there be anything stranger than this, that a person stays for a long time in this garden so honestly that he does not eat even a single piece from it? This person seems pious and abstinent like Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala, subhanallah. The owner even did not know that this person is Sayyidina Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala himself. Sayyidina Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala said, I got back to my work and the owner left the garden. Subhanallah, dear brothers. The deep eagerness of eating halal, absolute honesty and utmost piety of Sayyidina Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala was truly commendable, subhanallah. If he had willed, he would have received his desirous food easily by supplicating in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he knew that dignity lies in hard work. His trustworthiness, piety and ascetism were truly matchless and incomparable. Though Sayyidina Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala looked after the entire orchard, and if he had willed, he would have relished eating the bunch of grapes from the orchard, but he was not one of those who do not care about and distinguish between halal and haram, who betray the trust and those who focus their attention only on the wealth of others. Allahu Akbar. Rather, he was well aware of the significance and excellence of eating halal. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us the opportunity and tawfiq to eat that which is halal, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal for us. And it's not only the matter of consuming, but in every facet of life, we should look into what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made lawful for us and go for it, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forbidden for us, stay away from it. It is as simple as that. It is only through our nafs and the influence of Satan that we indulge into those vices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and grant us all salvation from such vile acts, from such vices of indulging in haram and doubtful things. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. For gaining the blessings of halal food, refraining from haram sustenance, and forgetting to know the halal means of earning, read a brief but important piece of writing by the name of 50 Madani Pearls of Earning Halal Sustenance, authored by none other than Shaykh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat, the founder of Dawat Islami, Allama Maulana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Radhawi Ziyai Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah. Studying this booklet is extremely beneficial. This booklet contains virtues of halal sustenance, dire consequences of haram earning, and 50 informative madani pearls of earning halal sustenance. Therefore, buy this priceless book today from the stall of Maktabatul Madina in quantity, and besides reading it yourself, also present it to other Muslims, inshallah, who will benefit from it. Those Islamic brothers who are employees or employers should repeatedly read this book as soon as possible. This booklet can also be read online and downloaded online via the website of Dawat Islami, dawatislami.net. Or you can download it and then distribute it, inshallah, azawajal, the soft copy of it. Or tell others to go visit the website, inshallah, and download the book from there. Inshallah, azawajal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our endeavors in whatever little that we do, effort that we make, in order to gain closeness to our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow His commands and the commands of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bi jahin Nabi ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear brothers, as we are drifting away from the blessed era of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the darkness of ignorance is speedily prevailing. The mortal glittering of wealth and the abundance of riches has blinded the eyes and wisdoms. Allahu Akbar. In the past, people used to refrain from haram and impermissible food immensely. Now people have become so careless and audacious that they consume haram deliberately, Allahu Akbar, and don't even feel shame about it. It is a sad state of affairs, dear brothers. Remember, this is the result of not knowing the Islamic principles. The revered and renowned Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a time will come upon people when man will not care at all about how he earned his wealth, whether it is by haram means or by halal means. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Commenting on this hadith, a renowned commentator, a great thinker of the Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khanaimi rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, has stated that people will get negligent in religion in the last era. They will badly get stuck in the financial worries. They will only care about accumulating and multiplying wealth without distinguishing between halal and haram fearlessly, as is common these days. It is very common. Allahu Akbar. It is stated in another hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a time will come upon people when the religion of a religious person will not remain safe except for the person who runs from one mountain to the other, and from one hole, meaning from one cave, to the other in order to protect his religion. At that time, one will not be able to earn a living without displeasing Allah azza wa jal. When faced with this situation, man will suffer destructiveness at the hands of his own wife and children. If there is no wife and children, he will suffer destruction at the hands of his parents. If there are no parents, he will suffer destruction at the hands of his relatives and neighbors. The blessed companions, alayhim ridwan, humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah, how will it happen? He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replied, they will make him ashamed of poverty. At that time, he will go to the places of destruction. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from such situation where we are compelled to go for that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden for us. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Dear brothers, on the day of judgment, we may fall into disgrace because of those relatives for whom we remain busy in earning sustenance day and night. In our society nowadays, people are occupied with fulfilling their family's desires and demands without even bothering if those desires are permissible or impermissible. People are so blindly driven by greed for money that they do not consider it an evil to earn sustenance by haram or even prohibited means. Remember, it is indeed our responsibility to fulfill the rights of our mothers, fathers, wives, children, and other relatives. However, for fulfilling their desires and escaping their blame, if we keep on accumulating wealth without distinguishing between halal and haram income, If we don't make their mind to have patience, place trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, and remain grateful to Him, feel contentment in difficult times, and if we do not teach them the difference between halal and haram, then it is quite probable that on the Day of Judgment, those very relatives make a complaint against us in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we suffer punishment. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated that it is narrated that amongst a man's relatives, the closest relative are his wife and children. On the Day of Judgment, the wife and children of a man will make a complaint in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will say, "O Lord, make this person compensate for our unfulfilled right. He never taught us about religion, and he provided us with haram sustenance, and we were unaware." The person would be beaten so severely for earning haram sustenance that his flesh would come off his bones. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then he would be brought to the balance, to Mizan, where angels would bring his good deeds equivalent to mountains. Then another person from his family will say, "You made me eat sustenance from interest, from usury." And he will also take some good deeds away from him. In this way, his family members will take away all his good deeds. Then he would say, turning his face towards his wife and children in despair, "Unfortunately, now I have the burden of those sins and acts of cruelty which I committed for your sake, for you." The angels will announce, "He is the unfortunate person whose family has taken all of his good deeds, and he entered hell because of them." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Let's not displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pleasure of people. Allahu Akbar. Because we'll pay a hefty